Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.
WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Pry Report with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry was an intelligence officer with the Central Intelligence Agency and was responsible for analyzing Soviet and Russian nuclear strategy, operational plans, military doctrine, threat perceptions, and developing U.S. paradigms for strategic warning. Dr. Pry is executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, a congressional advisory board dedicated to achieving protection of the United States from electromagnetic pulse, cyber warfare, mass destruction terrorism, and other threats to civilian critical infrastructures. Dr. Pry has also served on the staffs of several congressional commissions. Due to his expertise, he's been a guest on numerous national and international radio and television programs, such as Life, Liberty, and Levin, with host Mark Levin on the Fox News Channel, Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business, and the BBC made his book War Scare into a two-hour TV documentary, and his book Electric Armageddon was the basis for a TV documentary by National Geographic. Dr. Pry has written numerous books on national security that include Blackout Wars, Apocalypse Unknown, Electric Armageddon, and War Scare, Russia and America on the Nuclear Brink. And now, here is your host, Dr. Peter Pry.
Welcome to another edition of the Pry Report, where our focus is on national security issues. I just want to mention, sort of as a headliner, that who knows, we could be on the verge of a World War III today. Russia has mobilized hundreds of thousands of troops on the border with Ukraine. Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, has requested the basing of Russian tactical nuclear weapons in his country opposite Poland and the Baltic states that are our NATO allies. And Washington is again in a panic over whether this time Russia might finally invade Ukraine and take it over the way they did with Crimea. They could be just trying to scare the bejesus out of NATO and the Biden administration to demonstrate how weak and vulnerable the West is. Even according to our own war games played in the Pentagon, you know, we can't win a war against Russia in that part of the world, defending our frontline NATO allies in the Baltic states and Poland. In our own war games and independent war games conducted by the RAND Corporation, you know, Russia ends up overrunning Ukraine and Poland and the Baltic states in 72 hours. And other frontline NATO states too, like Hungary and Romania. We're waiting to see what happens there in that part of the world, whether the Russians will stand down again. Is this just another shot across the bow of the Biden administration, or has the incompetence of the Pentagon in Afghanistan and elsewhere and the increasing superiority of Russian nuclear weapons finally convinced Putin, the general staff, that this is the time to strike? If they do strike, I think that there will also be attacks by China on Taiwan and probably Iran and Israel and maybe North Korea and South Korea. It's likely the bad guys have talked to each other and are coordinating their actions because those states are the new evil empires allied with each other: Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, a formidable block of totalitarian military dictatorships that is a greater threat than we have ever faced in our history, a greater threat than the Soviet Union was. But we shall see. That's what's going on today. I don't think that they will invade. I don't think that this is the time. Because if I were on the Russian general staff, I would want to wait and see how bad the Biden administration gets. I would want to wait until America hits rock bottom. Right now, we're in national security free fall. The Biden administration, for example, has got this nuclear posture review that's due in January. And a lot of the Democrats and a lot of the people in the Biden administration are talking about reducing our nuclear deterrent very drastically, in fact, giving up ICBMs, banning nuclear bombers, only relying on ballistic missile submarines. That would be a huge step down in the capabilities of our nuclear deterrent. I would want to wait and see if that happens first, if I were Russia, before I started World War III. So I think that it is my own opinion. Maybe I'll be wrong, proven wrong tomorrow, but I think the Russians, again, are just rattling our cage in the West to remind us how vulnerable we are. The main issue I wanted to focus on today was the Chinese nuclear threat, the nuclear threat from China, because China is in the midst of a massive buildup of its nuclear offensive capabilities. I think that China will probably have 4,000 nuclear warheads by the year 2030, less than a decade from now. But the Biden administration has different ideas and is trying to downplay the magnitude of the China threat. And maybe that's due to the influence of China Joe, but there are many other reasons as well, as I shall discuss. Two of the most untrustworthy sources of information on planet Earth are Communist China and the politicized Biden intelligence community. Recently, the Biden intelligence community raised its estimate of the number of nuclear warheads that China will have by 2030 from 400 to 1,000. In effect, they acknowledged that their original estimate was too low by 150%. But the new estimate is still way too low, probably by 400%, because China will probably have 4,000 nuclear warheads by 2030. For years, the intelligence community and academics, the latter mostly China-friendly so-called scholars and anti-nuclear activists, have lowballed China's nuclear arsenal as comprising about 300 warheads, year after year, that say, oh, China still has only 300 warheads, But early last year, Biden's intelligence community lowered their estimate of the number of China's nuclear warheads to 200. Which lower ball estimate was criticized as too low even by the left-wing anti-nuclear Union of Concerned Scientists. So even the far left anti-nuclear activists were to the right of President Biden's intelligence community that said, China doesn't have 300 nuclear weapons, they've only got 200, which happened early last year. That was the estimate under the Biden administration. However, over the summer, the intelligence community was taken by surprise by discovery that China is rapidly building 350 new ICBM silos. Global Times, a media mouthpiece for Beijing, opined that China should rapidly deploy large numbers of their newest and best ICBM, the DF-41. In case there is a future challenge from the United States over Taiwan's independence or China's ownership of the South China Sea. China's DF-41 ICBM carries 10 warheads. China already has about 50 DF-41 ICBMs deployed on mobile launchers capable of delivering 500 nuclear warheads. If China deploys another 350 DF-41s in silos, they will have 3,500 warheads. So let me repeat. If China deploys another 350 DF-41 ICBMs in silos, they will have the capability to deliver an additional 3,500 warheads, or 4,000 warheads deliverable altogether by the DF-41 alone. You know, that's three times as many warheads as the U.S. has on the entire nuclear triad, all of our ICBMs, all of our ballistic missile submarines, all of our bombers, all together, you know, won't be able to deliver. We can only deliver one-third as many warheads as the Chinese will be able to deliver just on the DF-41 ICBM alone. But China is also modernizing and increasing its number of submarine-launched ballistic missiles and strategic bombers. Counting these, Beijing could conceivably have the capability to deliver more than 4,000 nuclear warheads against the U.S. by 2030. So how does President Biden's intelligence community and the anti-nuclear academics and the panda huggers manage to ignore China's current and impending nuclear delivery vehicle capabilities and conclude that China will have only 1,000 warheads by 2030, far fewer than Beijing will be able to deliver by ICBMs, SLBMs, and bombers? One favorite theory, much repeated in the press, is that China may leave most of the new ICBM silos empty, filling only a few with ICBMs to increase their survivability by a shell game strategy. In other words, they'll be hiding, you know, maybe 1 in 10 of the silos will have a missile in it, so that we'll waste a lot of warheads trying to attack their missile. That's the idea of the shell game. But there's no, never mind that there's no evidence to support the shell game theory, no evidence that China plans to do that. Moreover, the F-41 mobile ICBMs are far more survivable and less expensive than the imagined shell game. I mean, that just makes sense. Why not take the, if you're afraid of the survivability of your ICBM, the China would make them mobile. You know, that's a lot less expensive than building empty ICBM silos. It's very expensive to make those ICBM silos and their command and control assets and everything. You know, so why waste a lot of money and resources building silos that you don't intend to use? Well, the reason that theory is out there, even though it doesn't make any sense, is because hope springs eternal among those who would lowball the nuclear threat, especially from China. The main argument for only 1,000 warheads by 2030 is based on the fantasy that China's future number of nuclear warheads can be calculated accurately from China's estimated capability to manufacture plutonium and enriched uranium for nuclear weapon pits. Nuclear weapon pits are used to trigger a thermonuclear explosion. Nuclear weapon pits are like a small atomic bomb that is used to raise the temperature, you know, to the levels of the sun so that you can use the fission energy to achieve fusion by burning the tritium fuel or the lithium fuel that makes a thermonuclear explosion. That's what a nuclear weapon pit is. It's a small atomic weapon used to trigger the H-bomb. Now, estimating China's ability to produce weapons-grade plutonium and uranium for making pits, you know, from unknown plants is not precise. Excuse me, from known plants is not precise. Dramatically different estimates can be made by tweaking a few variables. We do not know China's real capability to produce plutonium and uranium. China is probably hiding some or even most of these vitally important facilities, like Russia is doing. It hit from us, you know, its true fissile production capabilities with Krasnoyarsk 26, which is, you know, an underground nuclear reactor, small underground city, you know, for manufacturing fissile materials. In North Korea, we recently discovered they were hiding a uranium enrichment facility for us for many years, and we still don't know where all of their Russian and North Korean assets are. So surely China is also hiding assets from us for producing plutonium and uranium that is used in the manufacture of pits for thermonuclear weapons. Recently, the intelligence community was surprised to discover China is almost finished building two new GRIDI reactors that by 2023, just 2 years from now, will be making large amounts of weapons-grade plutonium. You know, another problem with the attempting to estimate the future number of nuclear weapons by China's capability to make pits, is that the estimated amount of plutonium or uranium used to make a pit can make a huge difference in the estimated capability to make nuclear weapons. The Union of Concerned Scientists, for example, estimates China needs 5 to 8 kilograms of plutonium or uranium for a pit. This is almost certainly incorrect. You know, they're basing that assessment on the Nagasaki bomb that the United States used during World War II back in 1945. It was fueled with about 5 kilograms of plutonium. And they're assuming that the art and science of designing nuclear weapons hasn't advanced since 1945, but it has. Tremendous advancements have been made. A good designer can make a pit with only 1 kilogram of plutonium or uranium. And so this increases the possible number of nuclear weapons by 5 times to 8 times greater than what the Union of Concerned Scientists estimates. But all of this is just them burying their heads in the sand. They're not really interested in the truth about the number of nuclear weapons China can make. If you would rather ignore China's known growing missile firepower and their known actual raw capability to deliver nuclear weapons, and it's increasingly hard to lowball China's capability to deliver nuclear weapons without ridiculous theories like the shell game. The left and the arms controllers and zealots and the anti-nuclear activists would much rather focus on China's fuzzier capability to make plutonium and uranium because they can fudge the numbers easier there. This is a safer refuge for those who would deny the reality of China's dramatically escalating nuclear threat. Historically, better analysts than those in the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Biden intelligence community have assessed that China has many more than 300 nuclear warheads, which guesstimate has been converted into a sacred cow, you know, by the press for over a decade. Even in the conservative press, you'll see, oh, China only has 300 nuclear warheads. And everybody, they act as if that's just a settled matter and it's not controversial. In 2012, former Defense Department analyst and Georgetown University professor Philip Carver assessed that China could be hiding 3,000 nuclear weapons. 3,000. Carver's perfectly reasonable analysis provoked the wrath of the Union of Concerned Scientists and the arms control community, who incorrectly insisted that China could not possibly make more than about 300 nuclear weapons. In 2012, Russian General Viktor Yasin assessed China had enough fissile material to make 3,600 nuclear weapons, but probably had deployed 1,600 to 1,800 nuclear weapons. Another Russian assessment by General Vladimir Dvorkin estimates China had 1,600 nuclear weapons in 2012. That was 9 years ago. 1,600 nuclear weapons, not 300. These Russian estimates are largely ignored in the West. Why? Assessments of China's nuclear capabilities and doctrine in U.S. academic arms control and intelligence communities have been driven by wishful thinking and a political agenda. First, globalists and the China lobby, and the China lobby is pervasive in the U.S. government, academia, and business communities. They want to believe that the decades-long pro-China policies are resulting in convergence beneficial to the U.S., including by the absence of a growing existential nuclear threat from China. So, you know, they don't want to be responsible, for helping China build up an existential nuclear threat to the United States. They'd much rather fudge the numbers and hide their heads in the sand and convince themselves and try to convince us that, oh, no, China's not going to be a nuclear existential threat to the United States. Oh, no, we're not the ones responsible. We didn't make a mistake by basically selling out the United States to China for the decades past. Second, anti-nuclear activists and arms control zealots have for years used China as a good example that the U.S. should emulate by reducing U.S. nuclear weapons to a few hundred for minimum deterrence. That is why they have been so stubbornly insisting incorrectly that China only has 300 nuclear weapons. They use that as a example to say, look, China believes in minimum deterrence. China only has 300 nuclear weapons. Why doesn't the United States build down to 300 nuclear weapons? They've also invented, these anti-nuclear activists admire China's nuclear no first use policy. And they want the United States to emulate that. And the Biden administration is actually exploring it. And they say, well, look, China has a nuclear no first use policy. They've promised never to use nuclear weapons first. Why doesn't the United States do that? Now, this fantasy view of China is dissolving fast as Beijing rapidly builds toward nuclear superiority and threatens nuclear strikes against Japan, Australia, and the United States. Guesstimating China's nuclear arsenal at 1,000 warheads by 2030 enables the pro-China lobby and the press to claim that the U.S. still has more nuclear weapons than China, and to blame the U.S. for not doing enough to stop the arms race. 1,000 warheads just happens to be the number that the arms control community wants the U.S. to adopt in their hoped-for next phase of further reducing U.S. nuclear weapons. But the jig is up for the pro-China lobby, for the anti-nuclear activists, and for arms control zealots if Washington accepts the reality that China will have 4,000 nuclear weapons by 2030. This is 10 times the number of nuclear weapons on U.S. ICBMs and nearly three times the number of U.S. nuclear weapons operationally deployed on the entire U.S. nuclear triad, including all ICBMs, all SLBMs, and bombers. China is building the capability to deliver 4,000 nuclear weapons because it will have 4,000 nuclear weapons by 2030. China's trajectory toward 4,000 nuclear weapons is aimed at global domination. You know, there's no explaining away why does China want to have three times as many nuclear weapons as the United States? Because they want to be able to dominate the United States. Because they want to be able to win nuclear World War III if that becomes necessary. Unfortunately, too many in Washington are falling for the Biden intelligence community estimate without thinking. Why in the world would China build the capability to deliver 4,000 nuclear weapons when it supposedly can manufacture only 1,000 warheads by 2030? Well, that's because they're wrong. China is building building the capability to deliver 4,000 nuclear weapons because it's going to be able to build 4,000 nuclear weapons to deliver against us by 2030. But the intelligence community is trying to sell this 1,000 warhead number, and that's an enormous mistake. From such intelligence miscalculations, Afghanistan's, 9/11's, Vietnam's, Korean Wars, and Pearl Harbors are made. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Pry Report. God bless you and God save the United States of America.